Now here it is. All of us have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. The only way that you can have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is through the Lord Jesus, because He's the way. He's truth. He's the life. No man can come to God excepting through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who, through His death and resurrection, makes it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sin. Because when we trust Him, when we confess our sin and repent before Him and give our hearts and lives to Him, and He comes into our lives, our sin, past tense, is present tense forgiven, because Christ has already paid the price. He did that for me.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. So great to invite you into these moments of studying the Bible together with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And today's message on the prodigal dead is something that's going to be, in many ways, very revealing in our pastor's heart about the sense and the burden he has, and perhaps you have, for a prodigal in your life. Or maybe in the middle of this message, you'll discover that perhaps you and I have been prodigals. How do we change that? How do we come home to our Father? We'll talk about it in just a moment. Know that we're available for you as well. As we study, you can give us a call, talk, and pray with us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I have a real problem that I want to share with you this morning. It's a personal problem, but it's a very real problem, and that is that I struggle to know what to do with my sin. It may sound to some today somewhat surprising, because some of you might think that because I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church, that I'm a man without sin. I wish that I could say that to you, but that would not be accurate and it would not be true. It would not be true according to the Scriptures, and it would not be true according to the practice of my life. In fact, I submit to you today that every single one of us are sinners. There's not a single verse in Scripture that tells us that when we give our heart and life to Jesus Christ, that we become immune from sin. Or should I say that we become exempt from sin? In fact, the Bible says that when I give my heart and life to Jesus Christ, rather than becoming immune from sin or exempt from sin, what happens to me is that I become sensitized to sin. I become hypersensitive. And the reason that I become hypersensitive is because as a Christian man, the Spirit of God dwells in me. And the Spirit of God, who is God and He is holy, cannot tolerate or contemplate or accommodate any form of sin. So when I do sin, the Spirit who is in me immediately begins to react and begins to let me know that what it is that I'm doing is not right. Not only is it not right, but God doesn't accept it. That's why I become sensitized to sin. So we need to settle something very importantly today, and I do want to say to you, my friends, that as God speaks to you, He's going to set you free on something very important. The Bible tells us a story in the New Testament that I'm not going to be preaching on today, but it's a good one and a good place to start out. It's the story of the prodigal son. I think most of us know about the prodigal son, but if we don't, let me just remind you that it's the story that Jesus told us about a real man who lived on this earth. And he had a relationship with his father. His father wasn't his surrogate father or his stepfather or his want-to-be father. It was his father. This was the son of the father. And the father was a man evidently who had everything. And one day this particular son, who became known as the prodigal son, went to his father and he said to him, "Father, I've decided to take life into my own hands. I want to live it the way I want to live it. I no longer want to be in my Father's house, and I no longer want to be under the instruction of my Father, and I most certainly do not want to be under the discipline of my Father's house. So what I'd like you to do is just pay up right now, give me my inheritance, because I want to do what I want to do with it. So the father gave it to him. Now that's interesting. Could the father have said to him, well, forget it, I'm not going to do that to you, it's still mine. You can squawk and scream and cry and fuss, but you're not getting it, son, you understand that? But he gave it to him. I wonder why he did that. He gave him his inheritance, and that son immediately took off. The Bible tells us that he went off a far way, and he went into a foreign land, and there he gave himself to riotous living. Roughly translated, he handed him over to his sinful desires. He squandered his inheritance. He was no longer under the discipline of his father's house. He was no longer accountable, the hallmark of our Christian discipleship. He didn't have to answer to anybody. He said, man, I've got it made. I'm on my own. I'm on this campus. Mom and Dad aren't around. I'll do exactly what I want to do. Well, we know what happened. He squandered everything he had, and the Bible tells us, where did he end up? He ended up in the pig pen, the hog pen, literally. Now, folks, I don't want to brag to you, but I know what pigs are all about. When I lived in Africa, in the Cape of Good Hope, in a place called Franschhoek, during my university vacations, I used to work on a pedigree pig farm. Most beautiful place you could ever imagine, right in the midst of the mountains, and this man was a pedigree pig breeder, and my assignment was to manage the pigs. I remember one time my girlfriend by the name of Karen Bolton traveled about 500 miles from Grahamstown to come and see me, and she was in the city of Cape Town, and I had to get to her because I was about 60 miles away or whatever it was, and so I got into my truck. And I went to Cape Town to go and pick up this girl that I thought was the best thing I'd ever laid my eyes on. And I picked her up and we went out to eat. The problem was I picked her up in my hog truck. And just in case any of you are struggling to understand this, this was the same truck that we put hog stuff in. It stank like you cannot imagine. We went down to a place at Cape Point, at Sea Point in South Africa, right on the Atlantic Ocean, and they had a drive-through restaurant, much like Sonic, you know, in our country. And I drove up there, and I still remember the gentleman coming out there to take our order. He got about 50 feet away from the motor car, from my truck, and decided this was just too awful. It wasn't worth the tip or anything else in between. Folks, can you believe I took my wife, and I mean my girlfriend, I can't believe I did that. She married me despite that. I just want you to know something, folks. You talk about a man getting in the pig pen, it is one awful place to be. For Jonah, it was the belly of a whale. By the way, I lived on the Bluff in Durban, South Africa, one of the biggest whaling stations in the world. And let me tell you something, folks. You knew exactly when they brought the catch of whales into the whaling station in Durban, South Africa, because those whales stink to high heaven. You can't imagine the stench. Well, Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale, probably one of the most extraordinary prayer meetings that ever took place. Well, here was this man in the middle of the hog pen, and the Bible uses these words that right there in the midst of the hog pen, he came to his senses. And he stood up and he said, why, even in my father's household, the servants are treated better than I am. I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than have to live in this squalor, in this stench, in a pig pen with nothing, in my sin and degradation. And so he rose up and he went back to his father's house and received the shock of his life, because while he was still a way off, he looked up and there he saw his father coming toward him with his arms open wide, welcoming him back to his home. He put a ring on his finger, he provided for him a sumptuous meal, and he put him back where he needed to be. Our subject this morning is the prodigal dead, the prodigal dead. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Now, friend, this is remarkable. God will speak to your heart today as he has spoken to mine. In Hebrews chapter 20 and verse 21, we read about 1, 2, 3, 4 people. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Remarkable, just two little words, little brief verses here about four incredible men. Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and Joseph. I just want to submit to you today that what we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 concerns just the simple fact that today as we speak, as we heard sung so brilliantly and wonderfully by our choir and Steve Woodard a moment ago, there's no doubt about it, these men are in heaven. They belong to the Lord, they live up there. We're going to see them one day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you read about in these just two verses in Hebrews chapter 11 is just simply the final comment about an entire lifetime. But I think we need to hear the rest of the story. Because there was something about these men, my friends, that are going to remind us about the prodigal son of the New Testament and about our own lives in the pig pens in which we find ourselves. You see, when we begin to discover the narrative about these people, we discover, my friends, that they were far from perfect. In fact, countless numbers of times they did things that would boggle the mind. I'm talking about a man like Isaac. If you remember, Isaac was the son of Abraham. This was the chosen son. This was the man who was marched up the mountainside, whose life was spared, who understood everything that took place, saw the hand of God, heard the promise of God. Well, let's look at the rest of the story. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. Just very quickly, I can't show you all the things that happened to these people. We would be here all month. But let's read a few excerpts. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 26 and verse 7, for example. Genesis 26 and verse 7. The Bible says, when the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought, the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and he said, she is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? Isaac answered him, now here is something unbelievable. This is what Isaac said to the king, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. What a coward. Now folks, here's Isaac, he marries this unbelievably beautiful lady by the name of Rebekah, finds himself in a foreign country under the rule of King Abimelech, and he's got a beautiful wife, and he's not a man who was born yesterday, and he notices that these men are all taking a fancy to his beautiful wife. He realizes that if they discover that actually he is married to her, back in these ruthless days, let me tell you what they would do. They would do anything to get his wife. They wouldn't even stop short of just killing him. Look, man, if we want Rebekah, his wife, for our own, we'll just kill the husband. I mean, it's just as simple as that. So this man, Isaac, this is Isaac, folks. We're not talking about a nobody here. Isaac looks around, he says, man alive. So he says, wait a minute, she's my sister. The king sees them together and he realizes she's not his sister, that she's his wife, and says, why did you lie to me? He said, well, it's easy. I was allowed to lie because my life was in jeopardy. You see that woman there, the beautiful one? I thought if you knew that she was my wife, you would kill me. I'm concerned about me. Now, folks, that's a nice how do you do, don't you think so? All the wives here, you'd agree with that. Can you imagine if you're in some company somewhere and someone comes up and you turn and you say, oh, this lady, no, she's my sister. you'd come out there with a big fat lip. I can promise you that right now. Just think about how horrid this is. Just think of the betrayal, the cowardice. Just think about how horrendous he lied in the face of God and before all mankind. Just think about the desecration of his marriage vows. Just think about what he was going to permit to happen so that he could save his own skin. This is Isaac. And so the story goes on.
That's the voice of Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and we'll be back with much more of this message on the prodigal dead in just a few moments. But Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you that in this conversation, it's something that he shares, then you volley back. We revel in the opportunity of praying with you and for you. Just in these last 3 days, we have been praying for hundreds of people who have a prodigal in their life, someone that's drifted from God. They know they belong to Jesus. They know they have the mark of a believer, so to speak, but they are so far from God. Let us help pray them home with you. Again, our phone number is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you and pray with you and for you about whatever's going on in your life, but especially if you want to pray a prodigal home, we stand ready to connect. Now back to today's message from Dr. Don Wilton.
We look at the life of Moses. We look at the life of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. I mean, Jacob and Esau, the two sons of Isaac, got into such a tussle. Who caused all the problems between Jacob and Esau? Mom and Dad did. Isaac and Rebekah, they played one another against each other. They had a favorite son. Isaac allowed his human desires for good food to get in his way. Jacob was deceitful. He covered himself in some coarse hair so that he could feel like his brother was. He put on his brother's clothing so that his blind father Isaac would be deceived and not know that it actually was Jacob. Where do we go with this story? I want to speak to you about the prodigal dead. We're going to answer two questions today by asking them. Number one, what does a prodigal look like? What does a prodigal look like? Let's have a look at this together in the light of God's Word. Number one, a prodigal belongs to the Lord. A prodigal belongs to the Lord. All prodigals are believers. You might say to me, Pastor, how do I know if I'm a prodigal believer or if I'm just a lost person living in sin? You can judge that by the reaction that you have concerning who God is in the light of your sin. You see, my friends, a prodigal sinner who is always a believer is a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who, when they find themselves in their pig pen, when they find themselves in the midst of their sin, it's not a matter of whether or not they are in sin. The issue is that as they find themselves in their sin, it bothers them because they are in sin. Troubles them. That's the Spirit of God. That's the mark of a believer. I remember many years ago a man coming to see me. I knew him. He was a kind of a friend of mine. He came to see me, sat down, and he told me about the fact that he was living in sin. Then he just burst into tears. He just burst into tears. We talked a little more. He began to control himself, told me a little more. He burst into tears again. Then he burst into tears. I mean, he was crying uncontrollably, telling me about his sin. And I remember looking at him and saying to him, my friend, why are you crying? He looked at me and he said to me, my friend Don, he said, I'm crying not just because I'm in sin, but because I know that God has got a hold of my heart and what I'm doing is wrong in the presence of God. And I'm coming to my senses. That's what he was saying to me. He was saying, I'm coming to my senses right here in my pig pen. But friend, I know that I'm a believer. I know that I belong to him. I've had people over the years, through whatever means, have come to me. I don't know whether they're coming to try and find sanction for their sin or to try and get permission for their sin or get a stamp of approval for their sin. I don't know. But I've had some people who have come to me over the years and have told me about their sin And when we've begun to talk about it together as two brothers or a brother and a sister in Christ, as I have thought in my heart, I've turned to that person and said to them, well, what do you think about it? And basically, bottom line, they've said, well, I'm in sin, and I want you to know that I'm going to continue to do exactly what I want to do. That person is not a prodigal. They're a lost person. You see, friends, sin in the life of a believer won't stop you from going to heaven, but it will rob you of your joy. Sin in the life of an unbeliever may not rob you of your quote-unquote earthly joy, but it most definitely will rob you of eternal life. By the way, who said that sin is not delightful? Much of the sin of the world, once tasted, has a sweet taste. That's why when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God said to them, you must not take of the fruit of that tree. There was nothing wrong with that fruit. I want to suggest to you, it was the best fruit in the garden. I remember our trip overseas last year. We were in a place where they grow pineapples. I'm going to tell you something. We were given pineapples from pineapple country that was the best pineapple that you could ever imagine. God looked in the garden and said to Adam and Eve, you can have anything you want, but of that tree you do not touch, because it is the tree of good and knowledge, and it is the tree of knowledge and evil. And I want you to know, if you eat that tree, you are being condemned because of your sin, because I said don't touch it. Who said that sin is not delicious? Sin is sin because God said don't do it. What does a prodigal look like then? Prodigals are believers. They're not lost people. They're you and me. That's why I can stand here today and tell you I've been a prodigal. Not many times, but many, many times I've been a prodigal. Number two, prodigals question God. Prodigals question God. Now folks, listen very carefully. Can you imagine knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and yet questioning Him? What an audacity. God does not prevent us from asking questions of Him. Nothing wrong with that. But what God doesn't put up is when we question Him. There's a big difference. I can ask all kinds of questions of God, can I not? Lord, I'm in a fix. Can you help me? Lord, I don't understand what I need to do. Heavenly Father, would you show me which way to turn? Lord Jesus, my son, my daughter are bringing me great grief. They're not interested in spiritual things. What can I do? Lord, give me wisdom as I handle these things. We can ask every kind of question of our Heavenly Father because He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to ask Him, but don't ever question God. Don't ever question God. Prodigals question God.
Thank you so much, Dr. Don. We will be back tomorrow with the conclusion of this message, but when you think about that great sign of weakness, here's the way we combat weakness. We lock arms together. We ask God to give us strength where we are weak. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We're connecting right now, both keyboard to keyboard, on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or give us a call at 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you, to pray with you, and maybe connect you with resources. But know this, we're here for you. And before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, these are such special times together. I'm so grateful, my friends, that we can worship together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry, and you're such a vital part of all that God's doing, and I just love you, and I want you to know that. You know, this ministry goes on 24 hours round the clock all the time. We want to be involved in your life, and we want to continue to pray for you. You can call us at any time. You can partner with us all the time through prayer and through your giving. We know that you are 100% engaged as we are in sharing God's truth with our searching world. That's what this is all about. We need Jesus, don't we? And God is doing a great work. And I love you today. Thank God for you. Pray for you. God bless you.
It could be that you've heard more than just Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word today with his wonderful South African brogue. But instead, it could be you heard the heart of God speaking through his word, God's word, and through his servant, Dr. Don Wilton, to let you know that it's time to come home. You're that prodigal. You may have been thinking there are others that fit the prodigal bill better, but maybe it's you. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. 866-899-9673. As Dr. Don would say, it's okay not to be okay. You are welcome here. We want to encourage you. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And speaking of prayer, if you haven't heard about the promises of praying for others, here's Cheryl with all the details.
Revolutionize your prayer life in 2019 with Pastor Don Wilton. In his powerful, uplifting, and faith-building message, The Promises of Praying for Others, you will come to understand the wonderful gift of prayer in your life and learn to delight in the privilege of approaching God's throne on behalf of others. The Promises of Praying for Others can be yours on CD or DVD to enjoy and share with family members and friends for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word this month. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304. Or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. Your generosity will be a tremendous blessing to the Encouraging Word ministry as we continue full speed ahead in 2019, bringing hope and changing lives through God's encouraging word.
The number one more time is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. And it's been a great day today on The Encouraging Word, but tomorrow it's going to be even better as Dr. Don concludes this message on the prodigal dead.